Live from State Street in the heart of Chicago, you are listening to the new home of the Chicago Bears, ESPN Chicago. And this is Waddle and Sylvie, WMVP, WSHE, HD2, Chicago, a Good Karma Brands radio station.
It's locked, cocked, ready to rock.
A little early for Waddle's World, but we're going to do it. You heard Jim Harbaugh. I got some Michigan sound for you. Our Michigan story and then some Harbaugh sound. Harbaugh's living the RV life. Or at least he was living the RV life. But first...
No Waddle's World to open, though? That just the
Harbaugh don't have open. To have it.
You
we
just wanted
we,
the...
We don't have to have it.
You just wanted the Harbaugh open?
Yeah. We're a little short on time. If you guys want it, we could fire it away.
And ready to rock.
Huh?
Michigan's going to serve 3 years of NCAA probation, pay a fine, and face recruiting restrictions after university. And five current or former football employees reached an agreement with the enforcement staff and the NCAA on recruiting violations and coaching activities. So this is the extent of what they're going to be penalized.
No, it'll be probation.
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 3 years of NCAA probation.
This ain't SMU.
Harbaugh could have worked through that.
Yeah, it's not SMU.
No, it's not death penalty.
Anyway, but I wonder if it would have been different if Harbaugh was still there.
You think so?
Oh, stop it.
Why? What? He's the one who was in charge.
But he would have been locked, cocked, and ready to rock, even if he was.
So you think if Harbaugh was there, it would have been worse, or he would have been suspended?
As locked, cocked, ready to rock.
So it says in the article, the portion of the case that involves former coach Jim Harbaugh will be considered separately by the Committee on Infractions.
Yeah. Well, what are they going to do?
There's not much you really can do. Right,
exactly.
Well, you could suspend him if he ever comes back. Like, say, hey.
If you ever come back to college football, you're going to be suspended
for a year.
He's living RV life right now, my friend, out in Los Angeles as the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers.
He still hasn't found a home? He's still in the RV?
He has, but there was a good piece on, there's no better social media team than the one that is in charge for the Chargers in all of professional sports. I'm sure there are a lot of good ones, good social media teams. Nobody's better than the Chargers. And I believe they had this piece. I saw it for the first time today about Jim Harbaugh's experience living in an RV when he first got to Los Angeles.
Down by the ocean.
Yeah, I am. We all are. Yeah, and I'm coaching for him. Yeah. We're in Huntington Beach at the waterfront RV park. This is my Quantum Thor motor coach. Kind of inspired by growing up watching the Rockford Files. Got my DVDs. I've been... Watch that. Nothing will make you feel more like a dad than when you figure out how to dispose of the waste. Felt like a real dad. Now, Giro, I said this is a Class C here. Greg Roman.
How's it going, everybody?
You want to see Giro's?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, come check this. Check this rig out. It's like what the rock bands go around in right here.
I mean, for one person, this beats any hotel room in America. You know what I mean?
Took the words out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Living the RV life, Giro.
Yes, sir.
I asked my brother-in-law, John Fearborn, to drive this coach out, which he did. I'll tell you, some of the nights it was raining, is there a better night's sleep that you could get?
No.
In an RV when it's raining?
With the rain's hitting the top of it? No way. No.
Put you right to sleep. This has been a help to winning, to working, and...
No question. Winning and football, is there anything like it?
It's cured more ills than penicillin.
There you go.
That is a known scientific fact.
You and I have won some games in California, so it'd be good to keep that tradition going, huh?
More Harbaugh, more better.
That's true.
Yeah, he's a winning football has cured more ills than penicillin.
It's cured more ills than penicillin.
Has he gotten more breathy over the years?
Yeah. Yes. I mean, whenever he speaks, like, do you remember the last when he was giving the press conference where he talked about... believe he was referencing Easter and also at one point said locked, cocked, and ready to rock in the same press conference.
It's locked, cocked, ready to rock.
Yeah. It's like, is there a better phrase in football right now?
That is a known scientific fact.
I'm a whole board.
We're going to have Harbaugh-isms.
Yeah.
They're going to be so delightful. They haven't even, they are just now in like voluntary workouts.
Yeah, because you get an extra. Don't you get extra practices?
Yeah, because it's a new staff.
New staff.
They, I mean, can you imagine when it's game time? The gold that's going to be coming from the West Coast.
He's less talky though. Then he I don't think he says provides, as much during the season.
He'll still provide you some nuggets.
It's probably for the best that the Bears didn't hire him for our sake. Because this would be a nonstop Jim Harbaugh infomercial day in and day out.
No question. And it still is. And he coaches the Chargers. But crazy. The numbers are in. The WNBA draft had 2.4 million people watching last night.
I was one of them.
You were.
I was very excited. I like the first thing I did when I walked in the house was turn on the draft.
Did you have your lucky pennies like Jerry Krause used to have?
I did not, but I got home right in time for Cardoza to be drafted.
Okay.
And then I was hoping that Angel Reese would fall to them at 7.
And she did.
And she did, and I yelled downstairs
wife. What'd you yell?
I said, Allie, they got her.
And what did
Allie
say?
They got Angel Reese.
What did Allie say?
She was very excited. My wife grew up playing AAU basketball in Michigan.
Nice.
And the kids were very into watching women's basketball. They were into the entire tournament, men's and women's.
Melvin's got a good theory on what the Sky may be bringing to the WNBA now with this roster.
I think they're taking the Detroit Pistons template from the 80s. I think you have yourself some fierce rebounders. They're going to guard the paint. Don't go inside unless you're ready to pack a lunch, fellas.
Look, it could be either version of the Pistons. It could be the bad boys version of the Pistons.
The bad girls.
The bad girls. Or it could also be, look,
bad girls, what you going to do?
There's some Ben Wallace style to their game, too, in 04. Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace.
Rip Hamilton.
Look, I saw a comp too.
Chauncey Billups.
To what?
Tayshaun Prince.
With what Angel Reese brings to the table. I thought a good comp is Joakim Noah. I thought that's a very good comp. A national champion player in college who isn't maybe the best scorer, but is a fantastic defensive player and rebounder, but can absolutely develop into something, you know, like has great skill and it is a hell of a personality.
Have you bought your season tickets yet?
I was texting with Big Cat and we were
going on a package.
We were discussing that. We don't like, I know someone who lives in my community in Mason goes to school with his daughter. One of the top salespeople for the Sky lives in our community. And I might have you know, I met the Sky general manager at a bar mitzvah 3 years ago. So I'm on texting terms with their general manager back before he got the job as the Sky general manager.
Were you giving the general manager some advice on how to go about drafting?
I said if you could get Angel Reese at 7, that would be a great coup. And he took I just sent congratulations after the draft. I said he hit a home run.
Tilby said trade up and try and take Caitlin Clark.
Hey, Deerfield's going to be hopping again because ever since the Bulls left, you know.
Are practices open to the public?
I don't think you can watch practices, but, you know, that's how Braxton and I met Candace Parker a couple years ago. And now there's going to be intrigue with those players walking around Deerfield. They practice in the old multiplex where the Bulls used to practice.
Where's that at?
That's it's the Park District facility right off of Lake Cook Road, Lake Cook Waukegan area.
Okay.
And then after that, the Bulls used to practice there under Doug Collins, and then they finally moved to the Berto Center, their own private facility.
How many games does Sky play? Like, so you
40.
Okay, I think it's 20 game season package?
Half the games, yeah.
Well, I'm assuming they play half at home and half on the road.
We'll go to a couple games for sure. And look, next to what Caitlin Clark and the Fever did, the Sky got the most headlines last night.
Two picks inside the top 10.
Well, and Cardoza being the champion and being a scorer and a great defensive player and rebounder and getting Angel Reese. That's going to be the new Bird magic. Rivalry.
I was hoping the Sky would trade back and take an edge rusher.
Very good. Hey, if we have a successful draft like the Sky, like, look, and I'm not going to lie to you, the Bulls angst when was the last time I had this much excitement after a Bulls draft?
When Derek was selected?
I was trying to think about that.
By the way, the Bulls play in their play-in game tomorrow night. Will you be watching?
I'll watch, yeah. Okay. Do you know it's an 8:30 game? It's a late game.
Is it the second game?
It's the second game because I believe Miami's first. And even though it's in Chicago, it's an 8:30 tip.
Yeah. Tonight, the play-in, what are we calling it? The play-in tournament? What do we call it? The play-in games?
Play-in games.
We'll start tonight with the Lakers and Pelicans. That's the first game. Tips off at 6:30.
West games are not bad. The West games are actually really good.
Golden State, Sacramento.
Yes. They're actually really good.
Yeah. The East games.
Bulls Atlanta is like... It really is like the Tuesday NCAA tournament game.
Is the bloom off the rose, as they say, with the little guy from Atlanta?
He's been hurt. Trae Young. He's been out.
Everyone was kind of like, stay away because the team plays better when he's not there.
Joe Colley suggested doing a Trae Young for...
Zach LaVine
deal. I'd do that.
Yes.
Heartbeat.
Sign me up.
Done.
No doubt. Bulls are 3.5-point favorites currently. In that game. So, two Bulls tickets. By the way,
Trae Young going to play in the game?
Is he healthy? Isn't he? Tyler?
Load management?
Well, he's been hurt. He's been out, hasn't he?
It was a joke. I, if he's available, I would think he would play in the...
According to the ESPN injury reports, he's fine.
Yeah, okay. He played the last regular season game when they got beat 157-115 by the Pacers.
I saw that on the bottom line, score.
Yeah. Had 12 assists in that game.
Were they trying in that game?
My guess is no. But I don't know. You remember when the big fella made sure everyone got chicken? We talked about that. Boban.
Yeah.
The bigger flex came from the Clippers and team owner Steve Ballmer. The organization picked up the tab on concessions in the Clippers' final regular season home game at Crypto.com Arena. Not clear what the final tab came to be, but there were more than 19,000 fans in attendance at the game. The owner Steve Ballmer picked up everybody's concessions. How
just
about
like
that?
Jerry's done that before.
Yeah, but do they have a milkshake at the Clippers game?
No chance they have a milkshake.
They actually have players.
Wait, he picked up? So, like, if you purchase something at their...
Gesture to fans. On the last day of the regular season during the Rockets and Clippers game, Boban got all of the, he got all of the attention for missing the free throws, but Steve Ballmer was the one that actually was the most generous. The organization picked up the tab on concessions. I don't know if that began. Hey,
like, welcome. Did you get a credit afterwards, like on your credit card?
I'm not sure how they did it.
So I'm looking, and it looks like from fans who are talking on Reddit, you got two food items and a drink.
Amen to
that's
that.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, two food items and a drink. That's probably what, $30?
Maybe more.
Yeah, if it's alcoholic, especially.
Rory's dismissing the report from yesterday. Says he has no idea where it came from. Said the report that we talked about of $850 million offer by LIV Golf and 2% ownership. Says, no, I honestly don't know how things get started like that, McElroy told the Golf Channel.
What that means, boys? City AM is out of the trust tree for us.
Good call.
They're not the Cranes of London.
No, we just found that out. They're not. But he said, it doesn't mean that I judge people who have gone and played over there. But he's not going to do so. So he's going to stay committed to his stance, and he is not going to take that money. The Bucks are preparing to be without Giannis for this opening series.
They're going to get bounced.
Yeah, they have not been good.
Especially without Giannis.
Boy,
they get the Pacers. For what it's worth.
Yeah.
Maybe Dame plays better
without him.
Yeah, because he gets to take more shots.
But you see this as well. Whitey Herzog passed away at the age of 92.
I know.
That's the second, big name in baseball that's passed. Kenny Holtzman was yesterday. Whitey Herzog today.
Are you telling us things happen in threes?
I'm not telling you anything.
We should have our antenna up for another MLB legend?
No, I'm just saying, I don't know, man. Missouri man stole luxury vibrators worth more than $1,500.
What a transition.
Yeah. Just want to let you know that.
From Missouri to Missouri.
Yes. Yeah. I asked Mellor about this story.
What's a luxury vibrator?
Well, these ones retail for around $200 a piece.
What?
Yeah. And they're manufactured by Lelo, a Swedish company that advertises itself as one of the world leading designer brands for intimate lifestyle products. Yes.
The Show Me State.
I asked Mellor, what's luxury? How much would a luxury device be?
What makes it luxury?
It's as if you had four hands.
Yeah, more RPM?
Yeah.
What?
I just think they're probably made better. Yeah.
You think so? It keeps the charge longer?
It doesn't say why they're more valuable. It's just these are the top shelf items.
Control it by your phone?
Maybe it comes with a milkshake.
Why that made me laugh. It makes no sense.
You know what? I'm not going there. Under any circumstances, I'm just going to tell you that's all I got for you.
Ladies and gentlemen, representing your White Sox, please welcome Milkshake, number 8. Milkshake.
Standing ovation.
Woo!
Milkshake!
By the way, Milkshake chose not to stretch before the game since stretching is optional.
But the Milkshake did take some swings in the cage. To get ready for it. By the way, reclining economy airline seats are going to go away for good. So you're not going to be able to recline in your seat any longer.
Wait a minute. So now they're all airlines? They're taking the button away?
That's what they're saying, yeah. The trend has been occurring for several years now, and most senior fellows that cover the airline industry are suggesting that they're going to go away for good. Now there will be no reclining in the economy
seat. So they don't have to make the announcement anymore. Please put your seat backs in its full upright position.
Yeah, yeah. And you're not
going to happen if you land and you're reclined by like that 2 inches.
That's a really good question. Maybe it affects. I don't know.
The chair would fall. What would happen? What could possibly go wrong?
I don't know. It's a really good question.
We always have pilots.
You know what? Somebody call. Somebody call us. And let us know why you have to, your seat back's got to be up in your tray table and all other nonsense.
Tray table, I could understand. Maybe that goes through your chest in an accident. But, I don't know why.
Why does your seat have to be in the upright position?
Yeah, it's a matter of an inch or two.
Yeah. Every inch matters, brother.
That's what they tell me.
When we come back, the 37th moment in Chicago sports history in the last 50 years that we would like to erase from our memories. That's next.
Waddle and Sylvie share 50 moments over the past 50 years that Chicago sports fans wish they could cut from their memories. Presented by Great Clips. Number 37.
That's right. I'm going to introduce the highlight, right, Mellor? And let's go back to the spring of 2017 for this one. We were conditioned to really look forward to playoff hockey, but in this series against Nashville, not so much.
This is the team they had to get over the hump against.
Face off, one back to Ellis, feeds it across, that point shot, score! Sneaks through from Roman Josi, and Nashville has a 1-0 lead. Long shift for Chicago as well as Panarin picks it up. Launches that towards a goal. It's blocked by Ellis. A lead pass down for Arvidsson. Now Panarin rushing back. Arvidsson throws it back to the Taylor. Sends it in at the goal post. Hanging it off the post. Loose puck. They score. And Ramsdyk pokes at it. And Austin Watson brings it ahead. Chance down for a 3-1 for Nashville. Watson works in. Flips it back to front. Sissons plays it back. They score. Roman Josi's got his second. It's 3-0 Nashville. And they can smell it now. Predators have swept the Blackhawks. The first sweep in Nashville. history.
Not only did the Hawks get swept, but it was basically the final nail in the dynasty era in 2017. The Hawks scored a measly 3 goals in that series against the Preds.
That Panarin kid has really turned out to be quite a player, huh, Meller?
Yeah, I was watching the highlights when we put that in. And
Meller and I were watching some stuff.
Panarin now this season has 120 points for the Rangers. He's fourth in the league. He's going to get some votes for the Hart Trophy. And, man, yeah.
Well, what they traded to get Saad back, right? Was that the initial deal? Or what happened there?
They traded Panarin to Columbus mostly because they didn't think they had the salary cap room, because remember, both Kane.
So dumb.
No, yeah. It, in retrospect, it was a horrible decision.
We knew that then, too. It was the bread man and Kane. They made a mistake originally with Saad, but then after he left, fine, he was gone. And then they tried to then get him back, and then they traded Panarin.
Yeah,
and then Saad sucked when he was back.
Yeah, and Panarin has gone on to greater heights. Again, he's one of the best players in the league right now. So, the end of the era.
Sad to bring you. I almost saw a tear come down here.
Sylvie mentioned they only scored 3 goals in that series. They were shut out in the first 2 games at the United Center. They had home ice advantage in that series because they had the best record in the conference. So it seemed like, based on the way the season went, you thought, okay, the dynasty still had a chance, but then the door was slammed in that series.
They've not had a playoff game at the United Center since then, right? Because the only other time they've really been in the playoffs was when it was the bubble, and that was like fake playoffs when they played against Edmonton in the in the COVID year.
Yes.
When they took, 10 teams?
Yes, they extended it to make sure that the Hawks got to go to the bubble.
And then they won that series to get in.
Yes, they beat Edmonton and then were promptly bounced.
So sad. It was the end of an era after winning. You know, the year before that they lost to St. Louis. We went to one of the games with Wilbon, who's going to be joining us next against St. Louis. A frustrating loss there. But then the next year it was just sad when. You know, a team that was once great, and they won, like, I don't know if Meller mentioned this. He mentioned it to us in the meeting. They won the President's Trophy. They won. They had the high point total for the conference that year, and you just go bust, go boom in the postseason. 3 points, 3 goals in the entire series, and get swept by one of the rivals that you dominated during that entire run.
It's crazy.
All right. Michael Wilbon is going to join us coming up next. We'll talk to him about a lot of stuff. The Bulls play in. Is he excited about what the Sky did? What does he think about Caleb Williams coming to the Bears and what he wants to see them do in just over a week? Lots to discuss with Wilbon next.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Guess what today is?
It's Wilbon Day.
Woo-hoo!
Chicago native Michael Wilbon, host of Pardon the Interruption with Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
Well, it's been a week since I've talked to Michael Wilbon on the air.
I miss him.
Yeah, because when I went to spring break, and then we've missed each other the last few weeks. Wilbon is brought to you by Waddle's guys over at Hawk.
HawkAuto.com, Ford, Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Subaru, Cadillac, Mazda, and VW. All in one place, HawkAuto.com, where Chicagoland saves big.
Wilbon joins us right now on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. What are you most excited about right now? The Cubs start, what the Sky did last night, the Bears draft in 9 days from right now. What's on your mind?
Well, the Sky. I mean, to go out and get two players who have won the last two championships, inside players. I mean, players who go and do tough stuff and dirty work and defend and rebound and block shots. I mean, I thought that's huge. Two big stars, two people who come with pedigree. Good for them. And then to get the shooter from Gonzaga in the next round, they did a phenomenal job last night, and because the season comes so shortly after the draft, I'm excited about this summer. I get to some games every summer, certainly more you know, a couple of years ago when they were winning a championship and then trying to win a second one, which they didn't. But I got to games in both those years, not so much last summer. But I'm excited to see what this guy can do with his roster.
Mike, is it accurate to say that the NCAA women's basketball game is more popular than the WNBA? And is that popularity, will it shift into the WNBA because there are some difference-making stars that continue to come into the league?
You know, I don't know that it's been more popular than the WNBA. Not, I mean, I pay more attention in recent years, so 10, maybe more for me, to the WNBA. But this year and last year, women's college basketball was so extraordinary that it was certainly more popular than the men's college basketball. We know that from the numbers, from the viewership. Will it carry into the WNBA? I think it will, because these are big stars. I mean, one, you got Caitlin Clark and ticket sales in Indiana, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens when she visits arenas, at least the first time through, the first year. And then when you got, I mean, the Sparks had a great draft last night. Part of me was thinking that the Sky might draft for Kia Jackson from Tennessee because, I mean, she's a star and a great player, you know, herself. So you got L.A., which had a big draft night, two of the top picks, Cameron, the young lady from Stanford, you know, who's a defensive just marvel. I think it may convey to the WNBA. But, again, you got the Sparks, you've got the Sky, you've already got New York and Las Vegas with great teams that have, you know, that are a threat to win and have won. I think, and again, we just saw so many of these women play a minute ago, and now we're going to see them again in June. So, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing to the WNBA. I think it will convey. We're going to know real shortly.
Yeah, a lot of people in our audience, like, sometimes won't buy this sort of stuff, or they're like, well, this isn't for me. I was pleasantly surprised, Wilbon, 6 hours ago I posted a poll question. Are you excited about what the Sky did in the WNBA draft? The poll is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealers, Toyota Let's Go Places. We've had well over 2,000 votes. 70.3% of our audience saying yes, that they're excited over what the Chicago Sky did. And I think not only is it because of the talent, but it's because of the star power of these two players. Like you said, not only winning the last two championships, but especially what Angel Reese brings to the table as far as the marketability of the player.
Yes. And people need to grow up and not be such dopes. You know, I mean, there's still people out there who will say they can't watch soccer for whatever their reasons are. I don't really care what their reasons are. And so there was a reticence to accept that in certain communities. So they're just going to get left behind, because those people would probably have told you 2 years ago or 3 years ago that women's college basketball would never on any night outdraw men's college basketball in March. Well, they would be stupid and wrong. So either get on the bus or get run over by it.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to go to a game. And look, I'm a lot of it too is I want a team that is going for something. You've been more positive about the Bulls than I am, but again, like, mm-hmm. I don't feel like my Bulls team. Now the players are different. I know, like, DeMar DeRozan played more minutes this season than anybody has in the 2020 so far. Kobe White has taken a step this year. Io has taken a step this year. But I don't know if ownership or the front office is really giving this team a real try to do anything going forward, like the Sky or like the Bears or like the Blackhawks.
The Bears had to lose at an epic level to get number one picks. And so did the Blackhawks, even though the Blackhawks obviously had this great history recently enough that we can touch it. But what did the Sky have to do? They had to be lousy. They won, and then they had to be lousy. Nobody's going to be changing hands through free agency like may have been the case in 2010 when LeBron did that and joined Dwayne Wade, he and Chris Bosh. That's kind of done. with the financial structure of the league now. You got to draft. You have to draft. You don't have to finish 1, 2, or 3 in the draft. But when you get a pick, like 4, then you got to turn it.
Right.
You
got to
turn it into something.
And they have not.
Well, they didn't. They did not. They did not. They had that chance because Halliburton could be on the Bulls, and he isn't.
Right, and Dalen Terry stinks. I'm not sure, but I know the guy that they got is a developmental player, and the guy that they got
he's just a developmental piece. Sylvie, you're right, but I don't know that they missed anybody. Like they missed Halliburton. I mean, that's a plain miss. You have to be good in the draft to win. And you don't have to be 1, 2, or 3. Yes, if you can get Wembanyama, yes, you do it. But you don't have to. I mean, Wemby's not in the playoffs right now, but Halliburton is. And I understand Wemby's going to be, you know, a generational player. We can see it already. But even if you don't get 1, 2, or 3, you can draft the people. Jimmy Butler's been in the finals twice. Right? So the Bulls have done this. They drafted the right person deep down without having a number one pick.
The last regime.
So they've done it, and they got it, and they got to do it again.
Right.
Mike, is the play-in still working for you? Is it still good for the
NBA?
Still
working. Oh, my God. It's the best thing there is.
Okay.
That's the best thing there is in sports this week. Come on. Baseball doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
and I know there are people, Tommy, and I know you love all sports, even though you played one at the highest level. Don't tell me that I need to know about the 9th day of the draft, people saying the same crap that they're going to be saying in 4 days and that they were saying 40 days ago. Don't tell me that's exciting. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, but but let me play devil's advocate
here. I don't care
here.
About that.
Do you believe that there's a tremendous buzz for Hawks-Bulls, two teams that were below 500 squaring off?
Is your TV limited to Hawks-Bulls tonight?
Yeah, that's all I have.
Then if you can't watch Steph Curry and LeBron James, then you need to sue the person who put the damn TV in your house.
He's still trying to figure it out, though.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I mean, because I'm going to watch it because I'm from Chicago. It doesn't matter. There's other games. Jimmy Butler versus Joel Embiid and the Sixers and Miami is good basketball, good theater. Don't tell me that LeBron James playing in New Orleans against Zion Williamson isn't better than speculating over some tight end that's going to go to some team I don't care about. I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, okay, come on,
Brent and Bowers
play.
Is a I good don't. Tight end. Come on now.
I don't care where Bowers goes. I don't care.
Is it still okay for you because you don't want to watch baseball and you don't want to have the NFL draft conversation anymore?
I'm going to watch baseball. I'm going to watch the Cubs are here in Arizona now. I'm not going to the game because I'm going to watch basketball tonight because those two games are great. Anybody who can't get with that, who's got to just sit around for the NFL draft, they've got an agenda they ought to be honest about.
Okay. Here's why I'm asking. Because
it's about time you felt his wrath.
Does it?
No. There's no wrath going on, Tommy. No.
I got it.
I'm talking
just good.
About the people
this is my,
who
my point, Mike, is because
speculate on the draft at the expense of all of the
totally
things.
Totally get
with them.
This Bulls team stinks. They're 4 games under 500, and because they get into the play-in game as the 9 seed, I'm just a little puzzled as a Bulls fan. Does that serve as a reward to the ownership group? And does it give them an excuse to say, hey, we're close.
We're really close.
We're going to stay the course.
No, it gives them an excuse if they get playoff games and you make, whatever, $2 million a playoff game.
But that was rewarding mediocrity at best, and that's why I'm saying.
Okay, that's fine. Mediocrity in every sport is rewarded. All of them.
Well, we need to stop doing that. Let's stop doing that.
Well, I don't know who the we is. I'm not going. But, you know, again, you're fixated on the Bulls. I mean, fine, if that's what you guys want to do.
Well, I mean,
I'm not. And I've been a Bulls fan longer than both. I've been paying attention to the Bulls longer than both of you put together. And so I've been paying attention since their first inaugural season. I was 7 years old. And I've been following them forever and a day. And I'm going to follow them.
So
man, I'm not going to sit around. I'm not going to sit around though, wondering whether Do I want them to be better? Of course I want them to be better.
I want them to do something. They sit on their hands.
There's nothing to do. There's something to do. You got a draft. I gave you what to do. And if you don't want to accept that, that's on you.
Michael, they haven't made a trade in over 30 months.
It's not about the trade. Well, it's about the drafting.
Well, right. They haven't done that either.
Well, but what if you...
Okay. All right. I accept that. Do you hear me arguing with you? I agreed with you. They haven't done it.
You think somebody would have been interested in Andre Drummond? You think?
Yes.
Yeah, we couldn't. We can't trade Andre Drummond. We can't trade it.
You know what's interesting about this? So I think they should have traded Caruso and Drummond.
Yes!
And here's the reason. But that doesn't mean it's going to make them better short term.
But they're trying.
The question is, I don't care about fake. That's fake hustle. To steal a phrase from Mark Jackson.
So is being the ninth seed playing in the playoff game. That's fake hustle.
That's actual playing. Don't give me fake hustle with that. They should have moved the deck chair.
Your favorite teams are under 500. That's not good enough.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking they're being rewarded for being less than 500.
They're not being rewarded. Who's rewarding them?
The NBA. They're playing in a game that you can't wait to watch.
Okay. The only way they're going to get rewarded is if they win those games and do like
they
was Miami rewarded.
Right.
Was Miami rewarded?
Extend their season.
Was
they didn't deserve
Miami
it.
Rewarded last season? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah, they got were the Lakers rewarded conference finals last season? They were in the play-in. Both those teams were in the play-in. So they made their reward.
Both of those teams actually do stuff to try and make their teams better. Our team gets rewarded with a spot in the play-in game after doing nothing and is inspired to continue to do nothing because getting into the play-in game from this idiot's perspective is mollifying them and
if you
want to
make that case, I hear you.
Okay.
If you want to make that case, I hear you. I'm not going to argue again. I don't get into the whole tea leaf reading on psychological reward. That's just not my area that I care about usually. The Bulls could have made that. Here's why, going back to the Drummond situation. When they got Sanogo, and I thought that was a nice free agent signing, I'm looking at him thinking, you know what? Can he be baby Drummond? Can he be the new Drummond? So can you trade Drummond and get something and start to move in the direction, Tommy, that you're talking about?
Yes.
By trading Drummond. And it looks like when you go for 22 and 20, is that what he had the other night?
Yeah, double-double, 20-20, double-double.
I'm looking at that, and I'm thinking, okay, maybe they should have traded Drummond. And Caruso, who I voted for this morning officially, first team all defense.
Yes.
If it's true, as the reporting went, that the Bulls could have gotten a first-round pick for him, if that's true, I don't know that it's true. If it is, I'd like to see that have happened.
Then you're yelling at me, but you're agreeing with me.
No, I'm not yelling.
I just said
I didn't disagree with you. I said that going in.
By the way, Mike,
it doesn't make that much difference.
Last year, the Miami Heat were six games over 500. So, I have less of a problem with the Miami Heat getting in and doing what they did on their run. Our team is four games under 500.
Okay. That's the structure of the playoffs.
I know.
You know what? Michael Jordan once got into the playoffs I think they were nine games. Michael's rookie year, or maybe not his rookie year, maybe his second year.
Right.
So they were nine games under 500. He got into the playoffs. So you're arguing that's fine. You can take that to the league.
Can I get Adam Silver's number when we're done? I want to call him.
You have Adam Silver's number, don't you? Do you text Adam Silver, by the way?
Maybe once in a while.
Is he happy? So this is the essence of my question. Is he happy with the state of his sport, and is he happy with what the play-in has provided? Okay, that's what
I was
asking.
He's got one bad game. He's got one bad game out of the four play-ins, plus there's going to be two other play-in games. He's got one. So there's going to be six play-in games. Five out of six, that's pretty damn good percentage. I'm no math major.
Let me ask you another question.
But hell yeah.
Let me ask you another question. They've talked over the last couple of years about adjusting things and allowing teams that earn certain seeds to pick the teams they're going to play in the postseason.
Yeah, I don't like that.
You don't like that?
No, but you know what, Tommy? I thought it was an interesting discussion. But I just think it's great for controversy, but I don't know that I like it for sport. I don't know that I do. And maybe I'm just too old and too much of a tradition. I don't like the in-season tournament.
Let me ask you this.
But I like the play-in. The play-in is the greatest thing they come up with because you've got – look, the last 2 weeks of the season were great because people had to play to try to get in. The Bulls – listen, for whatever you want to say about the Bulls that isn't adequate, and I'm not arguing with you. They're not. The Bulls got out there against the New York Knicks on Sunday, and they laid it out there against a team that's much better than they are. They laid it out there on Sunday in Madison Square Garden. So did I like watching that? Yes, I did. Do I think that means they're going to beat? I think the Bulls.
They win one and lose second.
I think they'll beat. I think they'll win tonight.
Tomorrow.
I mean, tomorrow night. I think they'll beat Atlanta. And then I think they have no chance against Philly, none. But I do think if Miami wins, I think the Bulls can beat Miami to playoff series to get their brains beat in by the
second. Okay, so if they go to the Eastern Conference Finals, the three of us are going together to watch them play.
They're not going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I just want to get his ticket from him.
They're not even beating Boston in one game if they get to the
first round. I doubt they'd get a game on Boston.
Let me ask you this. This has always been my want. I want a conference-less postseason now. I want the best 20 teams and bracket them. 20 against 1.
I don't mind that at all.
But Michael, you know now in the NBA, what are the rivalries? The rivalries are just players. But like the Bulls and Knicks really aren't a rival anymore. The Bulls and Pistons aren't a rival anymore.
It could be though, Sylvie.
If they're good.
Yeah.
When the teams are good, they could be rivals. The players dictate the rivalries in the NBA.
Agreed.
Let's get
Agreed.
It going.
Agreed.
I would love to see.
I've been for that. I've been for just going, you know, one plays 20, two plays. I've been for that. I've been for it. So I'm not going to argue. Just like I'm for getting rid of the All-Star game as is and bringing in a U.S. versus international format. So there's some things that I am for, and I'm loud about those. And there's some things that I'll applaud, and I'm loud about that. And just like I've said all year, I'm one of the few who still doesn't like the in-season tournament. And so I'm gonna boo that, but I'm gonna cheer this play-in thing is fabulous, and it's the best thing that wild card weekend is great in the NFL. It is, but you get a lot of chalk in that. We make a big deal and we hype it because it's a single elimination game, and then it winds up being mostly disappointing. These playing games, you tell me what you're going to do if you're the Lakers. The Lakers' reward for winning tonight if they beat New Orleans is to play Denver in the first round.
Yeah. Yeah,
and,
I know.
And so it's LeBron James, for them, yeah. I mean, if you're going to make the case he's the GOAT, you better not be ducking anybody. I mean, you better not be. And I don't believe LeBron would do that. I don't believe LeBron would duck. You know, with Duck Denver to try to get a matchup with Oklahoma City, which favors him and his team. But all of that is intriguing. It's worth the conversation. And the games themselves are a hell of a lot more impressive than who's going to draft some kid from Georgia at tight end who goes to a city I'll never hear from again, Jacksonville, or never watch him again.
I got good news for you because now that we're done with you, we are going to be talking to Mel Kiper Jr.
And he doesn't want to talk basketball.
We're just going to put you on hold so you can listen to the whole thing, and we'll tell you where Brock Bowers is going to go and what the Bears could do.
You guys knock yourselves out with that Brock Bowers. I'm gonna go and play a little golf and get myself ready for.
Remember the Bulls play tomorrow night, not tonight.
And well, once again, my TV situation is not apparently as restrictive as yours. That you can only get the Bulls. So I'm gonna tune in to a guy named LeBron and a guy named Steph. And by the way, Zion hasn't had a good game since he left Duke. Not that matters. He had one in the play-in. He got crushed. In-season tournament.
All right.
And now he's got one tonight against LeBron. So you can sit there and wait on the Bulls and be local yokel. Or
watch.
or you can actually watch basketball tonight.
Mr.
Wilbon, thank you. Enjoy golf.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, love you guys.
All right, see you later. Back. All right, where will Brock Bowers go? Wilbon wants to know all that. And what will the Bears do at 9? Does Mel Kiper Jr. believe they would trade out of 9 if Malik Nabers or Roma Dunze is sitting there prime for the pickage? We'll talk to Mel Kiper coming up next.